नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. Cell phone off, please. They can all understand. Cell phone off. Everyone knows enough English to understand that. Name 460 in Vishnu Sahasranama is Sukhada. The meaning is clear. He who gives happiness to all. This material world is full of misery. Krishna states this twice in Bhagavad Gita. He says once that it is Dukhalayam, the place of misery. And elsewhere, by negation, he says, Asukam Lokam, the place where there is no happiness. Nevertheless, he does speak about material happiness. For instance, many times he speaks about material happiness in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, he says, Purusha sukhadukhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. The individual person is the cause of his happiness and distress in this world. But that happiness in this material world is very, very small. The example is given by the poet Vidyapati, that if one is in the hot desert in the summer at midday, he wants water. He wants water to drink and water to bathe in, to become cool. So if someone comes, he's suffering from lack of water. If someone comes and says, don't worry, I'm bringing you water. And he brings one dropper and puts tiny drop. And in that tiny drop is mixed potassium cyanide. Which, as you may know, is even in the smallest quantity is fatal for humans to ingest. So happiness in the material world is like that. It doesn't fulfill our need, and it's mixed with intense distress also. Now people may think, well, I'm happy. I have nice house, wife, car, dog, everything nice. That is the happiness of the same happiness that a pig feels. The pig in the drain full of stool and smelly substances thinks, very nice. Of course, the pig, his happiness is completely in the lowest level, the tamoguna. And someone who is happy with Sri Aishwarya Prajapsavaha, with beautiful women, aristocratic family, opulence, that is in Rajoguna, that's somewhat higher.
ఎవరైతే ఒక వ్యక్తి తన యొక్క ధనం చూసి లేకపోతే మంచి కుటుంబంలో జన్మను చూసి ఇవన్నీ కూడా ఉన్నాయో అతను రజోగుణమైనటువంటి ఆనందంతో ఉండటువంటి వాడు.
But it's like analyzing how much potassium cyanide is in the drop of water. Even a tiny amount is sufficient to kill you. But even the happiness of the materialists, that's also given by Krishna. Some different people, they want different kinds of happiness.
వివిధ వ్యక్తులు వివిధ రకాల ఆనందాన్ని కోరుకుంటారు.
అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ దే గెట్ ఉపద్రాష్టాను మంతాచ కృష్ణ ఇన్ అ న్యూట్రల్ పొజిషన్ హీ ఓవర్సీస్ అండ్ హీ మేక్స్ ద మెకానిజం బై విచ్ దే క్యాన్ ఎంజాయ్ అండ్ సఫర్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్.
వాళ్ళు ఏమాత్రం ఆనందాన్ని పొందాలనుకున్నా కృష్ణుడు ఉపద్రష్ట హనుమంత అనేటువంటి రెండు పాత్రల్ని పోషిస్తూ రెండు కూడా గమనిస్తూ ఉంటాడు వాళ్ళు ఎంత ఆనందాన్ని పొందగలరు ఈ భౌతిక ప్రపంచంలో.
But actually Krishna wants us to be really happy.
కానీ కృష్ణుడు మనం నిజంగా ఆనందంగా ఉండాలని కోరుకుంటాడు.
He himself is always happy.
ఆయన స్వయంగా ఎప్పుడు ఆనందంగా ఉంటాడు.
And he comes to this world to make us happy.
ఆయన ఈ భౌతిక ప్రపంచానికి ఎందుకు వస్తారంటే మనల్ని ఆనందంగా చేయమని.
There is no need for him to come to this world.
లేదంటే ఆయన ఈ భౌతిక ప్రపంచానికి రావాల్సిన అవసరమే లేదు అసలు.
But he does so out of his compassion.
కానీ ఆ పని ఎందుకు చేస్తారంటే మనపైనటువంటి కృప చేత.
Because he wants that we shall come to the position of actual happiness. But out of foolishness we are addicted to the happiness of sense enjoyment. So he teaches the path of dharma. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes in every age to establish dharma. The system by which people can behave piously and not grossly sinfully and get sense enjoyment. And he also gives the knowledge by which we can understand that the kind of happiness we try to get in this world is not real happiness. And that attempts to attain that kind of happiness, material happiness, is not in our self-interest. Krishna himself is always happy. And one way he gives happiness is just by coming to this world. His devotees, just by seeing of him, thinking of him, they become happy. He's happy, but he likes to share that happiness. Actually, even us tiny living beings, you can't really be happy on your own. One great punishment in the prison is to be kept in solitary confinement. Because people don't like to be alone. Of course, some yogis, they voluntarily become alone. But for people generally seeking material enjoyment, they cannot enjoy it alone. You may have a big house and lots of luxury, but if there's no one to show it to or to share it with, then where's the happiness there? Or if you have very nice food, then your pleasure becomes enhanced by sharing that with others, with sharing that with your friends. Or actually, if there's a very nice feast, in the Vaishnava tradition, those who are serving, they get more pleasure than those who are tasting. They take pleasure in seeing others becoming happy. They are parasukha-sukhi. That means they take pleasure in others' happiness. Whereas the demons, they are paradukha-sukhi. They take pleasure in others' unhappiness, and parasukha-dukhi. They're not happy to see others happy. So Krishna wants to share his happiness with others. You see, there's some sound is coming. Someone is making some advertisement by sound. It's supposed to be a very attractive sound. So the idea is that they attract you. You see, we want to make you happy, but actually they want to sell you something and take your money. They pretend to be wanting to make you happy. But their real motive is to exploit you and make themselves happy. But they don't become happy. One who wants to become happy at the expense of others never becomes happy. So Krishna is naturally full of happiness. He's full of love. Real happiness is in love. And that love, it's not that he's got a limited stock, it's unlimited. It's overflowing and he wants to distribute that to others. The real happiness is the happiness of love. And love means sharing with others. Love means to want to try to make others happy. In the modern degraded civilization, the idea of love is that one young man wants to enjoy a young woman and vice versa. But real love means that one is concerned with the welfare of others and wants to please them, wants to help them and please them. So Krishna, he is the best well-wisher of all living beings. That's the next name in Vishnu Sahasranama. Because he simply wants to make others happy. The next name after, now we have Sukhada, the next is Suhrit, and the name after that is Manohara. So his very form is very Manoha, means he steals the mind, he's so attractive. His very form is very attractive, therefore he's called Rupa Manohara. So some people, they take pleasure just in contemplating the form of Krishna. Even without doing anything, Krishna gives pleasure. Just by meditating on his beautiful form, we can become happy. So that is the beginning level of Krishna consciousness. In Shantarasa, one is simply appreciating Krishna's qualities, including his beauty. So just by existing, Krishna gives happiness. Of course, those who are demoniac, they take no pleasure in Krishna. They're envious of Krishna. They want. They think, why should Krishna be so beautiful? I'm more beautiful than Krishna. This whole idea of Miss World contest, it's all an expression of envy of Krishna. The attempt to show that someone is the most beautiful in existence, forgetting Krishna, is demoniac. And the women in such contests, they parade themselves so that the men may lust over them. Kama tripta, yeah. So this is a perverted expression of the natural love of the soul on the spiritual platform to Krishna. So Krishna, those who are devotees, they appreciate him, just his very form and his beauty. But there is a higher level in which one is not just appreciating, but one actually wants to serve him. This is Dasya Rasa. And there are others who interact with Krishna in devotion by being his friend. Just like Arjuna, it's Krishna's friend. Then there are others like Nanda and Yashoda, Devaki and Vasudev, who their service is so intense that they actually they take a superior position to Krishna. This is Vatsalya Rasa. And in Shringara Rasa, the bhakti is so, the prema is so intense that devotees, they in female forms, they relate to Krishna as their lover. So Krishna is the giver of happiness to all the devotees. And in Shantarati there is happiness. It is more in Dasyarati, then more in Sakyarati, more in Vatsalyarati, and most in Shringarati or Madhurya Bhav. So the devotee means they want to give happiness to Krishna. In some religious understanding, there is the idea that you go to God, you ask Him to give this, 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 and this. But that's not really bhakti. Bhakti begins with thinking, what can I do to please Krishna? He doesn't need anything from us. But if we offer something to him with love, he'll be very pleased to receive it. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that the father may be feeding the child. The father is providing the food. But the child may say, oh, this food is so nice, and take some of that food and give to the father. So the father doesn't require to take food from the child. He himself is providing the food and can very easily eat himself. But if out of affection, because the child feels that, oh, this is so nice, my father, I also want that he should enjoy this, then the father becomes very pleased. So in the same way, devotees offer everything to Krishna, knowing that they really have nothing material to offer Krishna. But that Krishna nevertheless is pleased just by the act of offering, or the feeling of offering. So when we refer to Krishna as Sukhada, we should consider, well, Krishna gives all levels of happiness. Everyone wants to be happy. It's axiomatic. Svata Pramana.
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree? If you disagree, we have a very nice hammer which we can hammer on your head. Everyone wants to be happy. Krishna is the giver of happiness. So we should go to Krishna. We may think, I will go to different demigods. But he's the giver of happiness to them also. And whatever they can give us, they do as an intermediary between us and Krishna. We should also think that, well, if Krishna is the giver of happiness, then why not get the highest happiness? Why settle for the kind of happiness that hogs enjoy? Nayang deho deha bhajang relo ke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam je aho putrika yena sattvam shujet yasmad brahma sokyam twanantam. Rishabdev says that having attained this human form of life, we should not try to get sensual enjoyment, which is also available to hogs. But rather we should undertake tapo divyam, divine austerity. By which our existence can be purified and we can attain to Brahma Sukh or spiritual happiness. So the highest level of that Brahma Sukh is the Prema Sukh, Premananda. And Krishna, he is willing to bestow that on us. But to become eligible to get that, the highest level of happiness that Krishna gives to us, we have to give ourselves to Him. This is called Atmanivedana, offering our very self. We have to have great trust in Krishna to do that. But by taking full shelter in Krishna, Sharanagati, he bestows upon us the highest bliss. And what is the highest bliss? Krishna himself is the highest bliss. So when we say Krishna bestows on us the highest bliss, it doesn't mean that we become Krishna, but that he gives himself to his devotee.
ఎప్పుడైతే మనం అంటామో కృష్ణుడు మనకి ఉన్నతమైన ఆనందం ఇస్తాడని, దాని అర్థం మనమే కృష్ణుడు అవుతామని కాదు.
ఈశ్వర స్వభావ భక్తేన అలాయ అపరాధ అల్ప సేవ బహుమానే ఆత్ పర్యంత ప్రసాద్. Krishna is so kind to his devotees that even if they make some mistake, he doesn't count it as an offense. But a little sincere service, he accepts it, and in return he gives him his very self. So in this way, Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, voluntarily subordinates himself to the love of his devotees. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino Nahi Asvatantra Iva Dvija. He says that I am under the control of my devotees, I am not independent. So this is very difficult or practically impossible for non-devotees to understand. Another meaning, if we examine the Sanskrit, can be taken to be one who destroys happiness. So we should pray to Krishna to destroy our happiness. To destroy that so-called material happiness so that we can be free from the illusion of wanting to enjoy this world and fully surrender to Him. Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yasyaha mahnu grihnami harishye taddhanam shanaihi. To one who I show my mercy, I gradually take away all their wealth. Seeing him devoid of wealth, his relatives abandon him. Oh, we shouldn't say this, then everyone will run away. They say, you worship Shiva or Durga during life and for material prosperity, and at the end of life you say you remember Vishnu, then you go to Vishnu for moksha. Or in Gujarati there's some saying that in Surat, in Surat you eat kaman, and then you have your gaman at the end of life to Varanasi. Enjoy life by eating nice food, and at the end of life you go to Varanasi and you die on the bank of the Ganga and you get moksha. These are all cheating, non-devotional propositions. Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning kicks out all kinds of cheating in the name of religion. One has to be very brave to actually study Bhagavad Gita as it is. And Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada has presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. One has to be very brave to read it. Because if one actually studies it, then one has no option but to come to the same conclusion as Arjuna. Which is to fully surrender to Krishna. But mostly people like Bhagavad Gita as some kind of pseudo-spiritual intellectualism.
కానీ చాలా మంది భగవద్గీత ఎందుకు చదువుతారంటే ఒక రకమైనటువంటి
And therefore they make all kinds of strange interpretations of Bhagavad Gita. Since I arrived in Bhimavaram, I know that some people here are appreciating some new interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. That actually Shiva was there and it wasn't actually Krishna and Arjuna. In English, the most accurate word to describe this is nonsense. Or if you want to emphasize it, you can call it absolute, complete, total hogwash. But people think, oh, very nice, some new interpretation. Why don't they take the same interpretation that all the great acharyas took from time immemorial? Instead of taking some interpretation by someone who might be a so-called learned pundit, but who himself is under the clutches of time, who will die and he won't be liberated himself. He's not self-realized. He thinks that by some Sanskrit knowledge and by some demoniac imagination, he can give a better interpretation than all the great acharyas since time immemorial have given. So be very careful of such demoniac so-called scholars. They are not Sukhada. They are not come to give you happiness. They've come to mislead you. If we actually follow Bhagavad Gita as it is, then we become happy. Because Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to give the knowledge by which we can come out of the misery of material life and actually become happy. That method is sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja, fully surrendering to Krishna. When Krishna says mam, he means Krishna, it's obvious. It's not that he's suffering from some kind of bipolar disorder and, well, am I Krishna or maybe I'm Shiva? It's quite clear, it's Krishna. So Krishna is giving the happiness, but he's giving, but we have to be prepared to take it. Someone may be a great philanthropist. He may come and say, here, some poor person, here you take 1 crore rupees. But the person has to be willing to take it. Actually, in the history of India, there are many sadhus who, even people came with much money, they wouldn't take it. Because they know that's not in their self-interest. That will divert them from the spiritual path. Of course, if you give me money, I'll take it. But not for its own sake. I'll use that in the service of Krishna. For printing books, for building temples, holding festivals such as we had yesterday. But if you give money to me and I think this is for my enjoyment, then I become sinful. We should take money from others for their benefit, not for our benefit. Means for their spiritual benefit, for engaging it in the service of Krishna. So Krishna, in so many ways, he's giving happiness. He personally comes. He institutes the system of dharma by following which people can be saved from the worst miseries and come to a better level of happiness. He comes as his holy name, by chanting which everyone can become happy. Some people think, oh, I will go to a cave in the Himalayas and perform long years of tapasya. Then I can be free from Maya and I can be happy. But Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and tells everyone to chant Hare Krishna. And the happy, by chanting those names of Krishna, one can be blessed with spiritual happiness even more than those who perform very difficult austerities. So, bhakti, the bliss of bhakti that Krishna gives, it is pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamavyayam. It is tangible, palpable happiness. Not something in future, but now also. It's not that we're following some vows and thinking in future I'll be happy. By doing bhakti now we're happy. And in future also we'll be more happy by the grace of Krishna. So I said that another meaning is that he destroys the happiness, the attachment to material happiness of his devotees. But another way that he destroys happiness is that he destroys the hopes for happiness of the demons. By their demoniac activities, they want to be happy, but Krishna destroys all their plans. So Krishna is paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam. He's always uplifting the devotees and destroying the demons. So that's little discussion of how Krishna is Sukada, the giver of happiness. This process of Bhagavad Bhakti, especially as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Kevala Ananda Kanda, simply the path of happiness. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Nityananda, that's Krishna and Balaram, they are the most merciful avatars because the path they give of chanting the holy names is simply full of transcendental bliss. Hare Krishna! Did you all participate in Jagannath Rath Yatra yesterday? Everyone who did, please raise your hands. Some of you didn't come. Only in the morning you could come. All right. So, how did you feel? Chala anandam. Very happy. Yes, yes. So every day in Krishna consciousness is a festival. What does a festival mean? It means you come together with your friends. Some special event. And there's music and singing and dancing and feasting. So every day in Krishna consciousness is a special event. Because every day we praise Krishna and Krishna is special. We come together with all our friends, devotees, and we sing and dance and take nice prasadam. So always be happy in Krishna consciousness. Don't be misled by this nonsense modern so-called civilization, which simply destroys all the good qualities of the human being. Kaling Sattvaharang Pungsam, this age of Kali simply takes away all the good qualities of people. But the great advantage of Kali Yoga is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gatir Anyata. Simply by chanting the holy names, we can achieve all perfection. In fact, it's the only way to do so. So, any question about this, please? No. Okay then, time for arati.